Welcome to the program For Locals Only with Gary Hamada.
Well, it's that time of the week again on For Locals Only, broadcasting live from the Eastwood Building. Of course, you're listening to KRML Jazz and Blues Radio, and we're Carmel by the Sea, California. The segment is Live with the Jazz Cat, and it certainly is. We have Leroy the Jazz Cat Downs on the line right now with his special guest, and I'll let him do all the introductions. Leroy, you there?
I'm here, Gary. How you doing?
All right. Well, let it roll, man. It's all yours.
Well, beautiful. Once again, we have with us today another beautiful musician, composer, film score, band leader, educator, and just truly one of the great musicians of our time, Mr. Terrence Blanchard.
Hey, man. How you doing?
I'm good, brother. How are you?
I'm okay.
Good, man. I just spoke to you recently, and you're there in New Orleans where you live, and you're performing at the New Orleans Jazz Fest?
Yeah, I was very fortunate enough to be able to play here, and then we were blessed, man. Later on that night, we played at a local club called Snug Harbor, and Herbie Hancock came by and sat in with us, man, and gave us all a great music lesson.
Oh, my goodness, man. Well, those musical lessons are certainly beautiful.
You know, yeah, yes, indeed.
Since this is your home, man, and where you're from, what is the major vibe of the people with respect to the music and celebration, you know, after such devastation hit the city?
Oh, man, it was a very emotional time for me. I mean, I basically would try to hang out every night until daybreak, man, because when I got to the Jazz Fest, the first day that I went, which was the first Saturday, I didn't know what to really expect. But I'm going to tell you, man, I was overjoyed, and I actually got a little full, man, because when I got there, the place was packed. Mm-hmm. And when I got to the jazz tent, it was great because I saw a lot of local people that are always there at the jazz tent. So that was great. So it really proved to me that, you know, the spirit and the of the city, man, of the community, you know, the determination, man, of people to bring the city back, and just the need for people to have a few days of normalcy.
Right.
You know, I mean, there was one beautiful moment, man, that just, like, really took my breath away, where my wife and myself, we went over to the gospel tent, and I had stepped out for a second, and as I came back, my wife was in tears, because she was telling me that the high school group that we were listening to, McDonough 35's gospel choir, was full of about 50 students, and just about all of the students there had lost their homes.
Oh, man.
And they were all displaced, but they had all driven from Houston and other various places to come there and be a part of the jazz festival.
That's so important, man. It just shows you the strength and the beauty and determination of the music and the creators who do it, man. And these cats live for the music, you know, no matter what, they were there, so.
Yeah, I mean, and it really goes beyond the music, man. It's a sense of community and a sense of pride of where we're from and who we are.
Right. Well, I saw a glimpse of Branford Marsalis and Harry Connick on CNN. I think they were talking about the resurgence of the French Quarters and some musicians' alliance to rebuild. I mean,
right.
Do you have any idea what that one's about?
Well, I know Branford has been part of an organization that's been raising money to help build some low-income housing in some of the hardest-hit areas. Then I also know that there are a couple of organizations around the city, and maybe this is what they were talking about, that's been trying to raise money to help musicians gain access to instruments, because there are a lot of musicians who lost just about everything that they had.
You're listening to Leroy Downs with Terrence Blanchard on KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. This is the Live with the Jazz Cat segment. Now, Terrence, you and a number of other well-known cats like Branford and Harry, as I mentioned, along with Nicholas Payton and a few others, attended an organization called the New Orleans Creative Center for the Arts.
Yeah, New Orleans Center for the Creative Arts, yes.
Okay, New Orleans Center for the Creative Arts. How influential was that organization for you, and who are some of the cats behind it?
Oh, well, it was an arts. It is an arts high school, and it's dedicated to, you know, the preservation of the arts in various fields, drama, music, creative writing, and visual arts, and dance, I'm sorry. It was an extremely influential place. I mean, I think it's kind of ironic, you know, when I was in high school, at the end of the year, all of the arts disciplines used to come together to put on a production.
Right.
You know, with the theater, department, the dance department, the music department, you know, the visual arts and the writers. And now, you know, I'm working in film where I'm doing just about a very similar thing. So, I mean, it had a great influence on us because we were all around surrounded by young, talented people who had vision, you know, and we used to inspire each other. I mean, I look upon those years as being very vital to my development.
That's beautiful, man. We should all have those type of organizations in our cities.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you know, we call it NOCA for short. NOCA was a place, man, and it still is. It's a place where kids can go and really be comfortable, you know, developing their talents, you know, because the way it's set up is that, you know, there are kids from various schools around the city that will be bused to NOCA after lunch or doing various periods of the day and take their artistic courses at NOCA.
Yeah.
So what tends to happen is you have a few kids from some schools who are probably extremely talented, but maybe some outcasts, you know, in their schools, who get a chance to congregate around kids that are very much like themselves, you know, which makes them feel more comfortable with what they're doing, gives them some inspiration to work hard and move forward.
Absolutely, man. It's a great organization. Well, speaking of another great organization, you hold the artistic director's chair over at the Thelonious Monk Institute of Jazz Performance. And not only do you work with other legendary performers, you kind of have your hands, you get your pick of the crop there with the cutting-edge musicians of tomorrow, man. What does that position entail?
Well, I mean, the way it is structured is it's a two-year graduate program where Herbie Hancock, Wayne Shorter, Ron Carter, and myself will hold auditions every 2 years, and we'll bring in kids from all around the world. It's an extensive auditioning process where we have people who listen to tapes, and the tapes get weeded down to finalists, and the four of us, we'll listen to them. We fly them into L.A., and we listen to these guys. Now, the great thing about it is that I'm there once a month working with them, but we also bring in, you know, various clinicians, you know, once a month to work with these guys as well. And they also get a chance to perform with Herbie on various occasions. And it's a great program, man. I'm there just to help these guys with their improvisational skills, compositional skills, arranging skills, and so forth, and performance skills. And the whole idea behind the Institute is to find the most talented and the most unique young minds out there in the world of jazz and bring them into the program and to just give them a safe haven, a place where they could just develop and be themselves, because we're trying to find and we're trying to inspire the innovators of tomorrow.
You're listening to Terrence Blanchard with Leroy Downs on Live with the Jazz Cat, KRML, Jazz and Blues Radio. Well, your impression of some of these talents must have been extraordinary, because not only have you recorded on one of your last albums, Flow, with a few key members of the ensemble, you also mentioned that you especially feel really in tune with these particular cats that are in your band now.
Yeah, I think that I'm gonna tell you, Leroy. I think there's a new movement afoot with some of these young artists, you know, because they're coming out of the woodworks. I mean, a lot of them are unknown as of yet because they don't really have regular gigs, and if they do, they're just not, you know, the people are not gaining, they're not getting the attention that they deserve.
Right.
But I think in the near future, you're going to start to see it. You're starting to see it now with Gretchen Parlata, who was one of the vocalists at the program. Lionel Leweke, who was the guitarist at the program, who's making a name for himself because he's been playing with me. And now he's going out on his own, and he's also going to be performing with Herbie Hancock. Then we had the various other students who have been doing other great things with other musicians as well. And the class that we have right now, man, is probably one of the most talented classes that we've ever had.
Mm. Yeah, I just interviewed Gretchen a few weeks ago on the show, and actually saw her and the rest of the cats over at this opening in Santa Monica. You know they're coming out with a beer called Brother Thelonious?
No, I didn't know about that.
Oh, man, there's a big push behind this beer. It's going to be called Brother Thelonious. They're going to sell it in jazz clubs everywhere, and then a portion of the proceeds is going to go to the Thelonious Monk Institute.
No kidding.
Yeah, man, they just broke ground on it, and you'll be seeing about that stuff.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, you gotta give me a beer called Brother Terrence.
Yay, well, you are Brother Terrence.
Okay.
Hey, man, speaking of flow, many have not quite grasped the vast concept of the word and the way that the album represents it. Why don't you give our listeners an education in flow?
Well, the whole idea behind it, it really came about as a means to try to describe what the band does. You know, this band that I have, I feel very blessed to have all of these guys, because these guys will take, you know, compositions that we've been playing on a regular basis and mangle them and twist them and turn them into new things every night. And, you know, it just seems to flow from a stream of consciousness. So when we were working on the record and we had finished the record, we were trying to find a title. We couldn't come up with anything that best described what the band did until Vincent Bennett, who's the road manager, he just came up with this word because he had been reading the book. And he said, look, man, flow really is kind of what happens with the band. And once we started to, it's an interesting thing, because once we recognized the word as the title of the album, it sort of solidified the concept,
right,
you know, for the group. And, you know, one of the best compliments we ever could have gotten, man, we were playing in Seattle for a week, and there was this one guy, I saw him Sunday night, and when I saw him Sunday, he said, I was here Tuesday, I was here Thursday, now I'm here Sunday, man, and I'm hearing these same compositions, man, and they sounded different every night.
Yeah.
You know, and I've been trying to explain that to people. You know, it's kind of hard to get it just by listening to the record. You know, but the thing that's great about that is that it's the band is always musical whenever we perform, and it keeps the music interesting and fresh for us.
Sure, it's like compositions that they have a foundation, but they morph every night because people have different feelings, different experiences during that week or what have you.
The analogy that I draw for most people is it's like watching the NBA playoffs.
Well, you know what? I had an analogy, too, and I could sum it up in one word, and I call it Jordan.
There you go.
If you ever watch Michael Jordan play, you know what flow is all about.
Exactly.
This is Leroy Downs on KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. You're listening to Live with the Jazz Cat with Mr. Terrence Blanchard. Hey, man, Herbie and Wayne are two of the most creative minds in the business, man. Each of them, they're always stretching out and pushing the sound barrier when it comes to the permeable walls of the music. Well, I know Herbie's a major collaborator on the project Flow.
Mm-hmm.
And working with him and knowing him and playing with him and sharing the intimate moments with both of these cats, what are some of the magical moments that have sparked your new thoughts and new creations for you?
Oh, man. I mean, I can't even begin to tell you how much my relationship with those guys have changed my life. I mean, because, you know, Wayne Shorter will just say something to you, man, you know, as a matter of just speaking about something in general, but he'll say it in such a manner that really makes you think. You know, Herbie Hancock, you know, when we were doing the record, he simply asked us as a group, he said, well, who plays like you? You know, and it was something that we never really thought about,
right,
because we're so busy striving to become better. You know, and then, you know, Wayne always, they always challenge us, you know, and in challenging us, it starts you to think about your own place in the music, in this music, you know, musical family that we're a part of. But when they perform, you start to see what they're talking about. You know, I start to see Wayne trying to find his own language as he's and you know, after he's already developed his own sound.
Right.
Wayne did something in the studio one day where he started singing, you know, this yodeling kind of sound, and then he actually played the same thing on his horn. So these guys are well beyond the whole idea of playing scales and chords or playing rhythms. They're really trying to search and find new sounds and new ways of expressing and painting colors and pictures in an artistic manner. And you know, they break. I mean, they. It's what's interesting about these guys is that they make all of the stuff that, you know, I had worked on, you know, in terms of technique, you know, concept and theory and rhythm and all of that stuff seems so mundane because they're so far beyond that.
Well, you know, you have to do that, as you told me, to get your skills up. But, you know, once you have all of that, man, it's all about searching out and creating. And these cats did come from the Miles Davis camp, man. I'm sure Miles gave them a little bit of the same thing.
Well, that's the thing. And that's the thing about it. It makes you realize how much work you have to do.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, learning the skills and learning your instruments, that's a very basic part of it.
Yeah. Well, in working with all of these up-and-coming players, man, that fall under the tutelage of Terrence Blanchard, you're pretty much the modern-day Art Blakey yourself, man.
Well, I mean, thank you. I mean, I feel very blessed to have these young guys, you know, congregating around me, you know, and I'm learning from them, you know. I mean, honestly, these guys are stretching me and taking me in directions that I would have never thought about going in. And it's been a really beautiful time in my life to experience, you know. I talk to my wife about it all the time, and we talk about how, you know, we just got to cherish this moment because, you know, you never know what's going to happen, what's in the future. And things could get better and still could evolve. You know, I'm looking forward to that. But right now, I'm having so much fun with these guys. I'm trying to treasure every moment that we have together when we get on the bandstand.
That's beautiful, man. You're listening to Terrence Blanchard and Leroy Downs on Live with the Jazz Cat. That's KRML, Jazz and Blues Radio. Well, film without music is pretty one-dimensional. And, of course, if you know the name Spike Lee, then you obviously know the sound of Terrence Blanchard. But you have a way of taking those visuals, man, and layering so much texture to the sound and giving it that full richness. As a film score, how do you determine which choices to make instrumentally to convey your ideas?
Well, it's a combination of a few things. Some of it is taken from direction from Spike, you know, because Spike will say to me, you know, I'm hearing this, I'm hearing this. He will start to name instruments, you know, as in the case with 25th Hour, he said, you know, bagpipes, you know, Arabic vocalists, Arabic percussion. You know, he started laying those things out. Now with Inside Man, you know, the only thing he told me was drums. You know, he said, I'm hearing drums.
Right.
And I took it a few steps further and started creating some, like, rhythmic loops and layering that with, you know, orchestral percussion, ethnic percussion, and then actually some rhythm and blues, funk kind of grooves. So, I mean, but it all comes from him, man. It all comes from, you know, those performances of those actors. You know, Spike likes very thick, dense types of melodic scores. You know, so I always get a chance to, you know, write for big orchestra. And of late, I've been getting a lot of chances, man, to just stretch out and do a lot of different things that I haven't done before.
Now that's beautiful, man. And it's always interesting how you can hear all of those textures. Well, you know, actually, when you listen to jazz music, you know, I spend a lot of time listening to what's not played.
Uh-huh.
And then yeah, I hear those instruments too, so I have an idea of what you're talking about. Well, look, man, at different periods in time throughout history of jazz, you know, it seems like you can put your finger on the pulse of the music. With today's technology, in terms of iPod, internet streaming, MP3s, and things of that nature, do you feel that there's some sort of pulse in the industry or the country or the world for that matter? And can we detect it as an epicenter for jazz?
Oh, yeah. I think that, just like I told you earlier, I think there's a pulse. I just think the country hasn't caught up to it yet.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just as when we were the Young Lions and that created a whole kind of scene,
right.
You know, there's a new thing that's bubbling up to the surface, you know. And once it gets to this, you're starting to see it now. You were talking about Gretchen Pollard and Lionel Loewenke. You're starting to see it with those guys. Robert Glasper, he's another one.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what's the other piano player from Texas? I can't think of his name right now, but he's another one. You know, there's a few guys around who are already signed and starting to do things. And then there's a bunch of younger guys who are still coming up. And trust me, man, the future of jazz to me, my opinion, looks very bright.
Well, I'm
these
out
guys
there.
Are extremely talented.
Yeah, I'm out there hearing them and seeing them too. And you're right. I don't think they're getting as much publicity as they will get as the wheel spins for the music. So,
yeah, I mean, the little trumpet player that's at the Monk Institute right now is probably one of the most innovative young trumpet players I've heard in a long time. His name is Ambrose Akinmusiri.
Right, right.
You know, but he's a guy who was in New York who really didn't get a lot of work because he's very unique. But, you know, he's developing. He's getting stronger and stronger, you know, month by month, as I hear him at the Monk Institute, and he's going to be one guy to really reckon with. Walter Smith is a tenor player from the group, is another one. You know, Zach Harmon, the drummer. I mean, all of those guys are very talented, and those guys have friends that are just as talented as them.
I know. I see him pulling it all together, man. I did a little interview with Walter, and I saw Tim Green over there. All of the cats from the
exactly.
Monk Institute, man. And when you hear those guys in performance, man, they are putting it down, man. And I don't know if the world knows yet, because even at their performance, it was filled with a lot of students that were there. So I think the population around USC may know who they are, but the world doesn't know them yet.
Well, they still have some things to work out, you know what I mean? And they're working on those things. They're working very hard, man. You know, but and the thing that's interesting about it is that it's very hard for them because they're not taking a cookie-cutter approach to this. If they were taking, you know, a kind of conveyor belt approach to this, they'd be very successful by now because they know exactly how to do certain things. But the thing is, these guys are searching. So in the midst of that kind of search in life, you know, it takes a minute to kind of bring all of those elements together to make one strong, powerful artistic statement.
Well, the searching in the music is what holds jazz together, man, and that should always be a part of it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it has to be. That's what jazz. Look, our Blakey always said jazz was invented because somebody goofed. So, you know, from its inception, it's always been about a search.
Yeah. Well, Terrence, man, it's been great talking with you. This is Leroy Downs on KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. The segment is called Live with the Jazz Cat. We just had a very nice conversation with my man, Terrence Blanchard.
Hey, man, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
It's always a pleasure, man. I know it's your daughter's birthday. Give love to your daughter and go enjoy some dinner and have a good time.
Her name is Sydney Bechet Blanchard, and she's 9 today.
Sydney Bechet Blanchard. That's beautiful. And musicians' children are always going to have beautiful names, man. That's how it's going to be. It can't happen any other way.
Right, exactly. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Well, hey, Terrence.
All right, take care.
Hello, Terrence. You still there? Yeah, she ends up playing like Sydney Bechet. You better watch out, man.
Well, you know, she's been playing the violin. She's been taking violin lessons.
Yeah. Hell, don't give her that trumpet, man.
Well,
you're out of a gig.
She has a recorder now she's been playing, and she's been just walking around the house improvising on a recorder every day.
Yeah. I wanted to let you know, Terrence, this is George, the engineer. I was at the IAJE about 4 years back or so, and got to hear your opening statements at the IAJE in Long Beach.
And I'll
never forget the first thing you said. You said, this is something that's serious, beautiful, and different.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it helps a lot, you know, when you get this across to people who are unfamiliar or even familiar with jazz. Let them know it like that.
Right. Well, that's the way I was introduced to it, you know, and one of the things I think, you know, us in the business that, you know, we take things for granted sometimes. And I've been learning with having these young guys in my band that sometimes you got to reiterate things that you think people already know. You know, but because the thing that I realized, there's still a lot of young people coming to this music.
Well, thank you very much.
All right.
This is Gary Hamada, and you're listening to For Locals Only in a special segment, Live with the Jazz Cat, every Tuesday around 5:14 p.m. And today, Leroy the Jazz Cat Downs' special guest is, of course, you just heard the interview with the great Terrence Blanchard. If you want more information, you can go to Leroy's website, and that is really easy to get to. It's www.thejazzcat.net. Don't go to .com. It's the .net. And you'll be able to pick up all the interviews he's done on KRML Jazz and Blues Radio, specifically for Jazz and Blues Radio on KRML here. And, of course, you'll be able to hear this one, Terrence Blanchard. And I want to thank Terrence for taking time out of his day and also Leroy Downs for scheduling this great interview.
Absolutely, man. You got it.
Thank you very much. And we'll be right back with more from our For Locals Only show on KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. We're broadcasting live from the Eastwood Building. It's Tuesday, May 9th, 2006, right here in Carmel by the Sea, California.